Roger. I'm a recovering act. My name's Frank. And first and foremost, definitely, I want to thank God for allowing me physically to make it this late through this day. I'm not getting old here, but I'm among some great, great aging friends in recovery, okay? And especially for a topic like this. You know, and I know when we go to conventions and we have topics and we have workshops, and if you're obedient to our message, and first and foremost, I want to welcome the newcomer, the one that's like just holding on through this weekend, that's up right now at midnight, right? And the one who's just going with the flow since as soon as they got here. Welcome, newcomer. And you know, a lot in workshops and a lot in meetings, we hear like the solution to everything, and you know, we hear other addicts up here that are sharing their experience, and what they're sharing their experience with is not getting loaded through this topic. You know, and what I've experienced with this topic since I've been clean is not getting loaded no matter what. Now, when I want to thank the program committee for asking me not this late to do this, because a while back I've been asked to do this late, and it's really late for me, because see, I've had to ride out a lot of storms in recovery that have to do with aging in recovery and having new illnesses in recovery. And what I've experienced in recovery, and the most important thing is my recovery, is like taking direction. When the storm has not come yet, and not having to procrastinate things so that when the storm arrives, I'm not prepared to get through this storm. But if I'm obedient and I'm taking direction from sponsorship and other experienced members on the physical piece, because I'm aging in recovery now, and where I'm going with this and riding the storms out, I'm learning how to ride out storms with illnesses in recovery, like diabetes. Living with it and not dying from it, right? And suffering from illnesses from like flus and being sick and having doctor direction, right? And having the ability to go to my doctor and say, look, this is what's going on with me. I'm sick. And what do I need to do? Because there's another stage, and most of the time is go get blood work. But in between the going to get the blood work, I want to like hold off and self-diagnose myself and wait for the pain to be so great to where the storm has created physically that I'm tired, I'm sluggish. And so at midnight right now, this is not what's going on in my life. I'm trying to rest. I'm in bed. Mostly I'm in bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock, right after the meeting. Weekends, I'm at home. Or I'm out doing family things, you know, or I'm at conventions and stuff. But it's only around this time I'm at conventions that I'm up this late and I'm in workshops. But I guess where I'm going with that, my storms have changed since I've been clean. And riding through the storms have changed since I've been clean. Listen, it was a big thing when I got clean and I got a flat tire. That was a big state of urgency. Use or not to use. NA ain't working. I'm a cop. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to work today. That was the biggest excuse and rationalization I could think of myself. I got a flat tire. Listen, I ain't going to work. Right? But our message was louder than my disease, and the message would be, look, don't use no matter what. Okay? You're going to get the tire fixed, and you can still show up to work that day. So, like, early in recovery, those were, the early tests. You know, listen, I have been tested in my recovery so that I've had the opportunity to draw back from the test that has presented itself to where I thought that was a major storm in my life. So when I got clean, I rode into Narcotics Anonymous in the storm. Now, I ain't talking about a little raindrop. I'm talking about typhoons. Right? I'm talking about coming into Narcotics Anonymous, right? When the pain here in myself, and where, because I'm one who detoxed and withdrawed in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? I didn't get it real sweet. There wasn't no hospital. There wasn't no detoxes for this guy, right? Listen, it was balls to the wall, MF. Don't use no matter what. One enemy, one battle plan, the steps. Listen, look. Get where I'm going here. It was the old time. It was men and women before me that dug the trench for me so that I, once I could get trenched here, that when my storm came, and I validated what was like in a storm in my life, right, that I could like share, not minimize what was going on, the pain and the loss of whatever situation was. See, listen, it was an experienced member that told me, you're gonna get your turn, newcomer. And I got mine right out of the gate. My mom died. Look, it wasn't like I've lost more jobs clean than I ever had using. I've been penniless, homeless, jobless, clean. Oh, I came here homeless and painless and jobless. I'm talking about after years clean, after material success I thought in my life, and having not been able to have the right maturity, right? The right maturity and maintaining the things and the gifts that I have, that God got my attention, because look, I've had repo men knocking on my door with double-digit clean time, saying we're here to get the motorcycle. But I'm talking about being real humbled before self-will would present itself and allow myself to say, you know something? I'm going to go ahead and just, listen, I got a raw deal. And start creating storms and drama in my life, and start putting blame throwers out and blaming it on you because of a situation that, listen, I was not being persevere in my life. But like life sometimes just happens to show up without your permission, along with the disease of addiction. And that's the storms I'm talking about. I'm talking about the storms where, listen, we're like, look, you just are so powerless that there is nothing you can do. You cannot bring back your loved one. I'm talking about the one that you are here, that day, that phone call you get, that just turns your whole life around. Listen, in 92 days clean, my mom died, right? That was my prepare for what was going to happen along the way after storm, after storm, after storm. That was my biggest test to see whether or not I really wanted to be and join Narcotics Anonymous, whether or not I really wanted to be sponsored, whether or not I really wanted to utilize my home group, whether or not I really wanted to use the ultimate weapon here to recover an addict, whether or not I really, 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 really wanted to stay clean no matter what. Because at 92 days clean, the only thing I knew is what you told me. Bring it to the meeting. You guys told me that. And at 92 days clean in my home group, this woman named Doreen came. She was doing my home group that night, and she talked about rocking with the storm. And I sat in the front row, we still used to call it, still today, the critical care unit, right? And I sat down, she shared, she said, no matter what, you never got to use. You can hold on tight, it's going to be all right. I was 29 years old, right? First time in Narcotics Anonymous. Listen, I had no clue about what was getting ready to happen, but we buried my mom clean. It brought me back to some hope. It brought me back to like some reality that it was worth living, right? And I started riding, and then when I started, I didn't know I was riding a storm out. Listen, Roger, I didn't know that was a storm. That was a serious situation. I just lost my mom, the one that I wanted right when I got clean. I'm a mama's boy, the one that I wanted to share the love and let her know that I apologize for all the harm and the hurt that I did to her. Right? But there was no way of just grasping that early in recovery. And 92 days clean, all I knew was that I just didn't want to use. That I knew that I was going to buy into what you were telling me, that if I asked for help, to let my help help me. And my help helped me here. And our message helped me to get through that storm so I could be prepared, because I didn't know when, but sooner or later another addict was going to come here with 92 days clean, right, and share that they just lost their mom, that I would have to be a vital tool at that day and get out of my ego, my self-centeredness, and tell that next addict on that day my mom died, right, that we can go through this together. And that's how it's been. Together we can ride out storms together. We ride out the storms, but it's always darkest before the day of dawn. See, my storms have been different in recovery to what my own belief is because of the relationship that I started with the God of my understanding. See, when I had a totally in my third step the first time around, when I gave up my will and my life, I didn't know that God was going to start taking people out of my life and start putting new people into my life. But to rekindle the relationships that once was lost in my life, my family, right, back into my life, but in painful situations. Not in situations where it was going to be a parade. Because when my mom died, my brother come back into my life. And my brother's a person that the last time I put my hands on him, I tried to kill him for his moped for $10. So like at 92 days clean, they were calling me and asking me to come, right? My grandmother was calling me, asking me, saying, look, we know right now that you're in this program, and that this program has some kind of commitment, so we're asking you to come to the funeral. And then when I came, I asked my grandmother and my brother, I said, did mom know that I was clean? And she was suffering from emphysema, right? And she died in Washington Hospital Center outside of D.C., right? And all I kept hearing was I wasn't good enough. But as time went by in Narcotics Anonymous, I was working the solution. See, the battle plan was in the steps. And when the battle plan came, the general told me. My sponsor was a man who started building this relationship with me. And his job and his relationship and sponsorship was to build my self-esteem up big enough so I could believe in myself that the next storm was going to come, that the situations was going to come, and I didn't have to go to the first response was using. See, once I got into the literature and I started reading the literature, my life started fitting the literature. So in recovery and relapse, right, because I was the fear of relapsing early in recovery, when Spahn said, look, you got to do the moral inventory, and I did it because I didn't want to use, that I started finding out about myself that there were going to be loopholes in my recovery, that there were going to be jarring experiences in my recovery. So in my process of recovery, right, men started coming into my life that were bringing the armor around me. They were bringing me to situations that I knew that if this situation was to happen, that look, that listen, the first time I did a first step, and the men that happened to be put in my life, they helped me bust and shatter the illusion and the reservation to use again. Right, that was a very important thing. The reservation to use again, that no matter what happens, no matter if she don't never come back, because listen, in the act of addiction, I abandoned three beautiful children, right, because of using, and then coming to Narcotics Anonymous, and the shame and the guilt, and my reservation was, if I didn't get my three children back, I was going to use. So I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I always wanted my children back, but listen, my children were there, I didn't know how to participate and come back as a dad. Not as the sperm donor, I'm talking about the dad. So my first year clean, right, was the trials and the tribulations, the court dates, the child support hearings, right? Because in PG County, it's a responsibility to your children, and it works out. Why I wasn't out yet when it talked about you got an obligation to your children. So listen, I got taught early, right? Because at 11 days clean, the ultimate authority was a judge, right? And he said, look, I understand already you got a few days in the fellowship that we see come in and out of here, but you got responsibility and you're going to learn how to pay child support, right? So look, that was a big storm I was entering into because I didn't know how to pay bills. Listen, I got here, I was a fire barrel bum, right? I hadn't heard that song, that word last night for a long time, old joint. I gave my shit up at the blood bank. So listen, I didn't heard all that in a long time.
right? In Baltimore City, back home, we don't talk about old joints. We talk about abandoned houses, right? Rats and Pratt Man Road. Thomas was talking about tonight. We both live together and we're friends back home. But anyways, so God was just preparing me for the next storm that was getting ready to happen. And that was with my kids. Because me and the mother of the daughter, we were Bonnie and Clyde. She just didn't want me to come to this place. Still today, 18 years later than this and some change, she still don't want me to come to this place. Because this place has shattered her illusion that I can use with her again. It's busted her reservation. It's kept her locked and loaded in active addiction still. But what it's done, it's allowed me to get through the storms here and not get loaded and be able to spin the circle back around. I told you about the child support, right? Had me the opportunity to pay $191,000 in 16 years of recovery here. But listen, not in a row, but listen, I smoked. If you're smoking, you ain't sending nothing out off your check Friday. They ain't getting it on Friday. Right? They just ain't getting it. Smoking comes first. It's all gone. No matter what drug you're putting away. So like at a year clean, my grandfather died. Right? And they started calling me and the family. They were asking me to come. Grandma was asking me to come. A little bit over a year clean, my brother called me and said, listen, you need to get to the hospital. I said, for what? He said, your nephew just got born. And he gave me a hug. After all them years, right? After all them years of wanting to just beat him down for whatever he did because I was jealous because he wasn't doing what I was doing. Right? And establishing them relationships back with my family. 3 years clean. Look, we hear a lot of wild things about relationships, right? I met a young lady in a place that I don't suggest no one to go into. But my ego said, look, I seen her across a restaurant bar. And she was doing the over-the-counter thing. So at 5 months clean, I said, maybe I could get into this. So at 3.5 years clean, when she wasn't one of us, right? And she said, listen, you love Narcotics Anonymous more than you love me. Maybe I need to go be one of them newcomers that you talk to at 2 o'clock in the morning instead of loving me. Maybe you show me attention. So at 3.5 years clean, with not having the responsibility of putting my name on things, we call that leases and buying homes here. Because listen, the rude awakening was that if my name wasn't on the lease, that means I'm homeless. So I would see, listen, a lot of my storms were set up due to my being stubborn, not taking sponsorship, not listening to the experienced member. So no wonder I was always leaving out of them women at homes. Because they were tired of me. My name was on nothing. That's right. My friend George J. taught me that. After being up countless nights. So 3.5 years clean, sponsoring men, step work, relationship with God, obsession to use been lifted. I found myself in a basement. Right? I found myself in a cold basement. In the middle of winter, taking off my belt, looking up. And suicide looked appealing to me. Suicide looked appealing to me at 3.5 years clean. Right? But back then, we weren't sharing about that in the meetings. I didn't know how to come to the meeting and tell you that I wanted to commit suicide because what had happened, I was living already in a storm. I was running on image time already. I was already sharing how Gucci it was in this relationship until she was gone. Because the first one left. That was the first one. And after the first one left, I had to learn how to come here and ask how to go upstairs to the psych unit. That's right. And put on the robe and sit there and talk and ask for help. Because suicide was appealing to me. But there was a vision before that, earlier that morning, because I was still doing drive-bys and seeing my children go to school. So that vision of hope of my kids, right, is what got me through that when I was sitting in the psych ward, the place I took the H and I, and I came up and they said, Frank, you early, what are you doing? And we got a couple days. No, I said, I'm the patient. Right? But back then, a lot of us didn't have a lot of experience with talking about hanging themselves and shooting themselves clean. Sponsor didn't understand that. Only God started putting experienced members in front of me who had time that wanted to commit suicide clean. Right? And I thank God, and I understood what it was talking about, being that that's a permanent problem to a temporary solution. I thank God again for the dark nights of when I just would hold the pillow and Winnie the Pooh and cry. I thank God for them storms. I thank God for the telephone, not the pagers. I thank God for taking the weapons and the ultimate weapons here, the recovering addict, and utilizing them at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, early recovery, because as I started getting longevity, my grandmother died when I had 5 years. She died in the same room her daughter died in the Washington Hospital Center. What I thought was a curse was nothing but a blessing. I was spiritually fresh, glad to be alive, glad to be a son at 5 years clean. By then, I thought the storms were over. They were just creating new possibilities. And lost dreams started awakening. I started sharing from my heart, and my heart was given back to me, and my family was being given back to me. Because at 5 years clean, listen, I'll tell you, when my grandmother died, it brought a lot of peace with my mom. So life just kept showing up. And I tell you, in my story here, in the 18 years that I've been here, listen, the storms started coming, but they started coming on another level because of 7 years clean. When I seen her go to the coffee pot, that was the one, right? And I thought that would be the one because I live by fantasy and illusion. So I listened, fasted up. I got clean outside D.C., she lived in Baltimore. I moved there like my old MO used to be, right? I had the car with two tags with two different belonged to two different people, right? Sharing clean, living dirty. In the process of that insanity and riding storms out, I was $14,000 in arrears child support, but I was moving to Baltimore now. Changing sponsors, because this sponsor back at home don't understand the issues behind the issues that was going on. God put a good friend of mine, a man from Philly, because he used to bang on the podium, had a cowboy hat, doing his thing, man. I said, yeah, he's real. This man is real. And thank God that God put this man in my life at the right time that I needed, right? Because of 7 years clean, he would tell me, just live the dream, just live the dream. And I moved to Baltimore wanting to live the dream, right? And I kept getting outside the house all the time with her, right? So, like, listen, it was real insane. She had a small little efficiency with a biracial son. And I kept saying, well, I moved here. I'm going to have a dream here. But I kept leaving, and she kept kicking me out. So just as an insanity kept happening. As I was leaving Baltimore, and I was done with Baltimore, moving back towards D.C., I was living out of my car then, and the two bags that I brought the stuff, I said, I'll forget. Like, well, look, we do as addicts, we run, quit, hide. To make the long story short, real quick, within five now, it's that pager went off. I'm going through the toll booth. I pull over. Right, car breaks down at the toll booth. Come back, pull over, take the page, call and said, yeah, what do you want, Ange? She said, where are you going? I said, well, how do you know I'm going? She goes, I got a wire earlier. I said, what should I say? She goes, I don't think you should leave yet. I said, why? She goes, I'm pregnant. Boo, 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 boo. I said, how'd you get pregnant? She said, I wanted a child. I took myself off the pill. I said, really? I said, that's premeditated. She goes, I wanted your baby. To sum it up, right? Between the 7th and the 10th year, we had been through the sanity. I was coming up on 10 years, right? We got together. We separated. Because I thought we were going to have the baby. What I thought was a curse was a blessing, though. What I thought was a trick was a treat because my little baby girl was born on Halloween. Right? What I thought would never, never happen again has happened in the last 8 years of my life with my little girl. The best storm I ever went through was a storm that I thought I would never get through that became the greatest dream of my life. Okay? And that's having a relationship with my daughter, Hannah, and the mother, the mother of my daughter. She left me at 10 years clean for another woman. That tore me up, down, flipped me upside down in this room. But listen, what I learned out of that, even though she's not with her today, that woman is still my daughter's life. She is the greatest, greatest gift to my daughter. I don't deny my daughter love. So in the opportunity, all three of us are friends today, 8 years later. The mother of my daughter is married and moved on and everything, and me and him are great, good men of God. I thank God for that. I'll close with this. Last year I was at this convention. I was in the midst of the storm. Me and my wife separated. I got a phone call more than once. Joke is I was laying in Florida. Imagine this. This ain't a fantasy. It's reality. Last year, laying in Florida, under the palm tree, South Beach, smoking a Cuban, right? Clown calls me up on the phone and says, I just calling you to apologize for sleeping with your wife. You don't know when you're going to get your turn. I'm talking about with 16 years clean. I'm talking about, listen, there was some stuff going on with me and my wife. New experience. New hard-won experience, right? And the first thought that came to me, listen, I'm telling you the truth, was not get on the plane and come home. Was to say, you know something? I already knew this. But I'm going to pray for you. Because y'all taught me that one. I prayed for the Joker. Even though my gut was flipping, I prayed for the Joker. But a year ago, right, after being locked up clean from my situation with my wife and my home life, right, what I know through the storm is that my sponsor and my male and women friends never, 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 never gave up. So newcomer, look, my hope for you, this is a miracle program. And if you stay clean a day at a time, like each one of us have here, especially these men right here that I've experienced, you will have miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I thank God and I keep coming back and thank you, Chesapeake Petroleum.
And our next speaker is Harold J.
I'm Addict. My name is Harold. I'm here to share my experience, Strength and Hope Recovery, on riding out the storm. Before I do that, I want to do what I always do, and that's mention the fact that on January the 2nd of 1990, my father died. As a result of him dying, I tend to reflect on different things that he said to me in my lifetime. And one thing he said to me in my early recovery, he said, Harold, you're blessed. If you feel that you got in touch or in tune with something, then your prayer should be to ask God to do for the next person what he's done for you. So before I attempt to share my experience, Strength and Hope Recovery on riding out the storm, I'd like to ask that y'all join with me in a moment of silent prayer to ask God to do for the next addict what he's done for us. Thank you. Now, this riding out the storm, I've been sitting over there. First of all, I want to thank the convention committee. I really want to thank Frankie because I called Frankie this morning and they said that whoever was supposed to share wasn't going to be here and they asked me to do it, so I'm here. Other than that, I wouldn't be here. I got some friends that's sharing and I couldn't make that meeting, but you know, I'm here and I just want to say this, that I've been clean for a while. That while is like 23 years. And in that time, what has happened is that, you know, I've come to a place where I'm 56 years old. And And when you get to this age, you start getting in touch with your mortality, and you start getting in touch with the reality that you want to, you know, be a little more purposeful in what you say and what you do. So in this sharing, you know, first of all, I want to try to express something to the newcomer, to the person that's like just coming in the door. There's going to be something tangible, something that they can hold on to that is going to allow them to stick and stay in this program and grow and develop. Y'all see what I'm saying? So I'm just going to share, you know, because I believe that it calls for you to share your experience from hope. The topic is riding through the storm, and after so many years clean, I had some storms. See what I'm saying? The thing, you know, I mean, like I said, I just was thinking about getting a roof on your house. You know, I got a roof on my house, and you know, I didn't go up there. I didn't go on the roof, but it had been a leak, and I had to wait on a storm in order to know what the situation and condition of my roof was. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, you know, I want to say that this is a 12-step process. It's a journey from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. And somewhere along the line, if you go through the process, you're going to have to go through some things to kind of find out, put the tool to work. You understand what I'm saying? So what happened is that in your life, you know, you're going to have some storms. We know we talk about life on life terms. It's some things here, and more will be revealed. Because when you first come around, you know, in a sense, we don't really want to scare you off giving you too much reality. We just want to let you know that you got a major problem and that you need some help. But in more will be revealed, it talks about some things. It says we experience failure, and we learn how to succeed. Often, we have to face some type of crisis during our recovery, such as the death of a loved one, financial difficulties, or divorce. These are realities of life, and they don't go away just because we get clean. Some of us, even after years of recovery, found ourselves jobless, homeless, and penniless. We entertained the thought that staying clean was not paying off, and the old thinking stirred up self-pity, resentment, and anger. No matter how painful life's tragedies can be for us, one thing is clear. We must not use no matter what. Let me try to tell you something. You know, something, 'cause I'm, look, I hear, you know, people I had, in the last week I had two people call me to relapse, right? And I've had people say different things. In 23 years, you hear all kinds of stories when people relapse. You know what I mean? And if they relapse multiple times, then you hear the same story multiple times. They all come back knowing the answer, things like that. But listen, let me try to say this. I want to go on record to say this. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug.
That's right. That's,
you know?
Right.
No, yeah, special announcement, right? But now, listen to what I want to say to you. I got clean. I became a 12-step member, right? And I'm walking around. It's, you know, life was smooth sailing. I had gone on almost 2 years clean. I was a 12-step member. I was sponsoring maybe 5-10. People, right? They asked me to speak a couple of places, so I'm chilling. It's smooth. Everything is all right. And then I'm laying in the bed with my girlfriend, right? And I hear you, because she had a son. So I said, "Don, that boy really can snore." I'm hearing this sound, and she said, "He not snoring. That's coming from you." So I had a wheeze.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all know what a wheeze is, but I had a wheeze. Now, let me, you know, I want to, of course, I got some storms I want to talk to you about. Listen, I had a wheeze, and I used to be an intravenous drug user, right? Now, I got this wheeze, I go to the hospital because I got a wheeze. I don't know why. They started fooling around and examined my lungs. When they examined my lungs, they see both of my lungs, right, look like maybe I got pneumonia. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I don't know if you understand, but I understood quickly that day that people that had, like, regular pneumonia, one lung is messed up. But when you got two lungs messed up, that was a symptom that sometimes AIDS victims had. You know, AIDS people had, right? So they after they examined and saw my two lungs, I told them I was an intravenous drug user. Like, they took me from the emergency room into another, like, spot, like, little room, right, with, you know, with, like, isolation. And then they all put on masks. right? So all of a sudden, I'm sitting up in the room dealing with the fact that maybe I might have AIDS because they done kind of told me that's a possibility. And I remember getting, like, all of a sudden, you know, because it was a wheeze one day, and then all of a sudden I'm sick, right? You know, I'm really sick. I'm in the hospital, and they testing, they trying to figure out, and I don't know how quick they do AIDS tests now, but back then it was like 3 or 4 days or a week or something I had to wait. So I'm sitting up in the hospital, and my small season's coming up, like, you know, in succession, like breaking down and crying because they heard I was dying. You see what I'm saying? And you know, fortunately, my lady, she said something profound to me. I'm looking for a woman like this now, right? She said, "Well, if you got AIDS, well, we just got AIDS." You know, I like that attitude. You understand what I'm saying? But as life would have it, turned out that I didn't have AIDS. What Bernie Mac had the same thing I had. I had sarcoidosis, right? And I haven't had any problems from that since. So meantime, you know, I get over that, and I, you know, I go back to making meetings and stuff after they give me drugs and whatnot to deal with that. So now I'm making meetings and things is kind of like going smooth again. And then I see this girl that's like a newcomer, right? I should mention this fact that I got two children by newcomers, right? You know, right? I didn't have any before I got clean. I got two by newcomers, right? So what happened was this particular girl, because I was messing with another girl who I wanted to marry. I was going to marry her and everything, and she decided she didn't want to marry me. I want to try to tell you, it was devastating. I don't know if you understand what I mean when I say it was devastating, but around about the same time, my father died. My father died, and she left me. Now, I was not as disturbed by my father dying as I was by her leaving me. I'm just trying to get you to understand what happened. But she left me, and that disturbed me. And I was so disturbed, I made an announcement to my sponsor. Right? I told my sponsor that I'm not going to use a drug, but I'm about to sex my way through this pain. I will not face this pain without some type of substitution or medication. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So what I did was I saw this newcomer who, you know, I said a couple of things. I don't know if you noticed, but I do talk a little bit. So I said a few things to her. It convinced her to come to my house and get in my bed. She came to my house, got in my bed, didn't particularly care for what happened in my bed. And listen, I didn't particularly care for what happened in my bed. So I turn around and like a couple of days go by because I'm just trying to run through everybody, anybody foolish enough to lay up with me. I'm just trying to tell you how I'm feeling because I don't want to feel the feeling from the one that I wanted leaving me. Y'all see what I'm saying? So now what happened is that her turn came around again, right? Because, you know, it was her turn again. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. But it's her turn to come around again. Now, when she left before, I knew that we weren't really clicking. It wasn't like that, right? But now she back, and it's her turn again, and we tried things again, and I'm like, never again. No, I don't know. I said, I'm never. She don't like me, and I don't like her, and I don't want to never mess with her again. I'd rather take my sheets on. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Right? So that's on like a Tuesday. I decide this. Like, she leave out like 4 in the morning, like, bye. You know, you ever just, fellas, come with me, right? You ever just come and want them to get the hell out? You understand what I'm saying? Just like, get the hell out, right? And that's what I walked her to the door, right? And she was gone, and I said, never no more, never no more. And that was like on a Monday or Tuesday. And that, like 2 days later, she called me and tell me she pregnant. Well, I'm saying, mom, you know, no. No, so now listen, no. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying, but I don't even like this person. No, she don't like me. She's sure she don't like me. I'm sure she's sure she don't like me. No. Right? So now she pregnant. Now I'm saying it probably ain't my baby. Oh, you know, but I should mention that I got 2 children by newcomers. Now the other newcomer caught me as I was just coming around, and I was still, see, I had been reincarnated. I was a reincarnation of Iceberg Slim when I read the book and became the character. So now I'm clean, and I'm trying to not be, I'm trying to be clean, but I don't know. I thought the iceberg had the solution. For this is how you deal with women. So girlfriend, this other newcomer, she tell me she pregnant, and I say, well, who baby is it? Now, I don't want to get, I'm trying to tell you something, right? That I used to, like, lay up in the bed with this one. This was fun. This was not like that, number 2. This was fun. I couldn't penetrate her enough, right? I'm just trying to tell you, this was like, don't move, just stay right here. We just gonna lock ourselves in here. We gonna do this thing, right? And that was my assignment with her. But now here she is, and I'm saying, I ain't even gave nobody, you know how we get, so I ain't gave nobody else an opportunity. I won't let the thing out my sight long enough. But you know, I read the book, Iceberg Slim, right? And she said, she pregnant. I said, well, who baby is it? Y'all see what I'm saying? Because so anyhow, that was the move with that. So then the other one, she get pregnant. So now it's like 2 years later. And I don't want to be like I was 2 years ago. I don't want to be cold. So now I'm going to try to pretend that this woman is about to have a baby that ain't my baby, that's saying it's my baby. I'm going to act like it's my baby. Turn out it was my baby. Right? But the thing is that, remember I told you we didn't really get along that good in the bed. We wasn't really big on each other. Right? But now she has my baby, and I want to love her. So I we justify, rationalize the most outrageous sort of nonsense. And I was pretty good. I don't know about you, but when I used, I used to lie to myself. I don't know what you got. So listen, lying to myself was not new. So I lied to myself and told myself, self, you love this woman. This sloppy stuff that was sloppy all the time, right? You like this slop. No, am I getting too graphic here? No, I'm just trying to get you to understand where I'm coming from, because what happened now, and I'm all in love, I done convinced myself I love her, and I'm ready to marry her, and she kicked me to the curb and married somebody else. I'm not having good luck with these women. Right? So she married somebody else, and then after she married somebody else, after that somebody else, she goes out and gets a woman. Now, I'm not that upset initially about the woman, but when I see the woman's name tattooed on her breast, it kind of affected me.
Come on, girl.
You see what I'm saying? You know, I mean, it's one thing when they leave you for a woman. That's kind of normal these days. You see what I'm saying? But come on, like, did you have to put a name on your breast? You know what I mean? Like, did you have any kind of plan to try to get back with me or to get with anybody in the future? You understand what I'm saying? So I'm feeling some type of way, right? So, I'm just trying to tell you about storms. I don't know. I got a couple more minutes. Okay. All right, so we going to leave the whole women's storm alone, but I want you to know I had some storms with women. But let me take you on, because I got a family. I got a father who left my mother after I got clean, who I love my father. I'm not trying to slander him, but he died not living with my mother, right? So I had to go through that. And then when he died, my brother, who I didn't know, I knew I had a brother, but, you know, outside. Well, now me and him meet, and this guy is so much like me that my other brothers are jealous because of our relationship. Because we just got so close so fast, and I just loved him. He was a singer, too. Sometimes he just used to break out and start singing. That's a whole other story, right? But he used to sing a song called I'd Rather Be By Myself, right? So, anyhow, he comes and stays with me, and he stays with me. Him and my other brother, both of them came and stayed with me. And it was us and my son who, by the way, when I got 5 years clean, you know, I was like living a lifestyle, you know, a fancy free, just going everywhere doing. But when my son got 6 months, a couple of days before my 5-year anniversary, his mother came and left him with me, said she wasn't never coming back for him, right? And I'm trying to tell you something. I knew that I kind of had like a Peter Pan personality, you know, like a Toys R Us kid, I don't want to grow up. I knew that that's where I was at. You know, that's a part of me. I used to, listen, I was fine with hiding out in Narcotics Anonymous and carrying messages and helping people, but I hadn't done no real responsible type of living. You understand what I'm saying? No, I just wasn't doing that. But now, all of a sudden, I got this kid, and his diapers need changing. Right? You know, and so I started calling different people in the fellowship, and they started telling me how to keep his butt clean and stuff like that. And all my fans, I don't know if you ever had fans, but all my fans that I had, all the people that every time you share, Harold, we love you so much, none of them called. No, I'm just trying to tell you something. You know, all of a sudden, reality had came into play, and I had to learn how to cook. I had to learn how to take care of this child. I had to learn how to be a parent and stuff like that, a single parent. So I started, you know, I started doing that. I did that, right? Then the next storm was that My two brothers, the both of them that lived with me, they died within 6 months of each other. Ebo, the singer, he goes in the hospital, and they tell him as soon as they examine him that he will not leave. They tell us, not him, that he will not leave the hospital alive, right? And then my mother tells me after my other brother, Sylvester, 6 months later, he moves out. My mother say, Harold, on Monday, she say, Harold, go by and check on your brother, Sylvester. So I say, all right, Mom, and I don't go. It's Monday, I don't go. So Tuesday come around. So he got a room in this little, like, you know, recovery house. You know, he working on like a year clean now, right? So I go by the room, and I can't get in. He not answering the door. So I want to kick the door in, but I don't want to break the law. So they tell me the process is for me to do this, that, and other things. So I'm running all around to go by to see, to, you know, see about getting in the door. I come back. Somehow or another, the fire people had came, and they went in. And my brother was in there dead. And, you know, I rode to the temple with him because, you know, they don't really say that they dead right there. They take them all the way to the hospital and make them dead. So, pronounce them dead. So I go and now listen, I don't know if you ever beat yourself up, felt guilty about something. But all I could think was if I had came last night when Mama told me to come. Right? What would the difference of just one night had made? And I had to, like, struggle with that. I had to deal with that. But, you know, some of the principles of acceptance and the fellowship allowed me to shake that off faster. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to tell you about the storms that I've been through. Right? About a little more than a year ago, my first sponsor, I loved him. I don't know if you can understand having the first person that believes in you and wants to help you in your recovery, right? And how, you know, so many people didn't really have, they weren't fanning no flame in me. So many people wasn't seeing nothing in me. Some people was taking bets. I seen the eyes of some people like 3 years later when they run back on me, up on me, people in the fellowship. And they see that I'm still alive and kicking, and not, you know, so. But this guy believed in me, and he helped me, and he goes in the hospital. He had just got a clean bill of health from the doctor. He go in the hospital. They tell me he got cancer. He got pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer. Listen, Dr. Talley, a friend of mine, she had got pancreatic cancer. I knew when they said pancreatic cancer, I messed around and watched House the same week. House had a client. Pancreatic cancer. They give them a year to live. Soon as they spell pancreatic, they give you a year to live. You understand what I'm saying? So now, here, I'm there, and you know, and I was, you know, I'm going to the hospital, I'm seeing him, and I'm watching him dwindle away, like I watched my brother dwindle away, like 16 years ago, right? But he, like, is slower than my brother dwindled on the fast track. You see what I'm saying? But he dwindling away. And I'm watching this powerful man, you know, dwindle. And finally he dies, and now we at the funeral. And at the funeral, they wrapped him up. He was a Muslim, so they wrapped him up. Now, you could barely tell it was like a cloth. But when they pulled that body out of the box to put him in the ground, you could barely tell it was anything in the cloth. I'm telling you, that cancer ate him up, right? And we took him, we put the dirt on him, you know? And I started reflecting, and I started thinking, man, you know, But before he died, my first best friend in the fellowship, right, he messes around and dies. So now all of a sudden I got both of these guys, these major people in my life, they all of a sudden dead, right? And I'm saying, man, you know, so I went through a thing. I'm not going to be too much longer. I went through a thing. I just want you to understand this. I want you to hear this. I started thinking that maybe it was winding down time for me. That it wasn't no point in me having no hopes, plans, and dreams. Because it just is, I'm looking around, all of a sudden everybody's gone. Mom, pop, brothers, right? And I'm saying, well, you know, this is, you know, maybe you done enough. You know, I listen to some people. You know, I always feel good when I hear people from Philly sharing because I feel like it's shaking, big, and I help. You know what I mean? But I started saying, you know, well, maybe, you know, it's just wind down time for you. Maybe you ain't never going to really do nothing. Maybe you ain't never really going to be nothing more than what you've done. Maybe your season is coming to an end. And I mess with it. But let me try to tell you something. He told me I had 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put you on point right now. I developed a program. You know, I got 23 years clean. I only used for 15. For 23 years, I've been practicing principles. And before all these calamities started a little more than a year ago, I called up a guy who told me to get back on my prayer and meditation thing, right? And what I did was I started my prayer and meditation program back up, right? Like I was new at it. And what happened is that it began to insulate me towards the living that was going on. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It insulated me, and what's more, it began to inspire me. And I started getting some inspiration to go on and to do more and to reach some higher heights and to get in touch with the thing when it said when the addict stopped using, new possibilities arise. Lost dreams awaken. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So I started getting in touch with that. And I'm saying, holy, wait a minute. I might be 56. And it may look like the end. Do you ever notice this? Listen, look, what can I use? All right, look, like this is a circle, right? But if this is the end of the circle, this is the beginning of the circle, right? So what it looks like, right, is not necessarily what it is, because what looks like an end is a beginning. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And I got to a place where I recognized that the time really don't mean nothing related to the determination in my mind and my heart. You see what I'm saying? I learned that if I just live, if I align myself with the truth that God has given me through the principles of this fellowship, right, that life is just worth living. It's beyond anything. The reason why you remain, right? You ever wonder why, like Roger, your boy at the hit house, fell over dead using, and you did the same thing and you survived? It's because your purpose is not complete. There's a higher meaning to your life, and there's a mission for you to accomplish. So, like, I'm on this mission of living. I'm on a living mission now. And I'm not just talking about in the meetings. I'm talking about in the world. I realized that God left me on this planet to do some things. So that's what I got this determination, to do some living. And I ain't talking about no half-step living. I'm talking about some not copping short, some full effect living. You know? So that's what, you know, they asked me to share. I'm going to tell you something. You can call it spooky, call it silly, whatever you want. I came here this weekend and nobody asked me. They didn't have the good taste to offer me to come and speak at this convention. I'm telling you, that's how Dot used to say, right? But I'm going to tell you, when I got on the highway to come down there, I knew I was going to speak at this convention. Because my 11th step is one where I get inspiration and guidance from God. I don't know. I don't really even care if you understand what I'm talking about. But one day you may realize what I'm talking about and start walking in the destiny that this fellowship can give you. This thing is a whole lot more than just not using drugs. You know, what's the thing? It's more than surviving, right? It's living, more living than surviving. And is that the thing? Thanks for allowing me to share. Okay.